So I'm really interested about this. And how is it that they choose the captain? Is it the trainer, or is it also
no? It's the management, and the team as well. That's why we had the Italian team. Yeah, you see, we had the local Italian team. We used to play in international league.
When did the Italian football team start here?
1960.
So, a few years later, and you were
1960. Yeah,
you were in your 20s.
21, 22. Yeah, 21.
And the players were mainly new immigrants. I mean, the ones around.
They were new immigrants, and we had a rule in the International Football League that you had to be descendant from. So your parents. You didn't
either
have to, if you were born here, either parents or even grandfather was alright, grandparents.
So you had a rule for the team?
Yes, yes. We had Germans, we had French, we had Austrians.
But
it was a league. Yeah.
Yeah, different teams of different. Wow.
International Football League, yes.
It was called like that?
Yes. It's interesting because it was when there was a lot of immigration. It's now been disbanded. Simply because there's no more immigration, so it's impossible to find the players. So it stopped about 15 years ago.
So it started in the
1916 and finished in about 1990, I think, or 85. But Vittorio also, he played in, Renato also played. They will tell you better, I think.
Yeah. But was it like a government project, this one? Or was it like
it was a sport initiative, you know.
Sport initiative,
Yes. Yes, and I personally was one of the founders of that, you know, together with the German chap and the Jewish chap.
But at that time,
Israel.
Was not Italian club.
Yes, the Italian club started. The Italian. I believe personally that the soccer was the precipitator of the Italian club. Yes, because the people used to get together on a Sunday to watch the Italian soccer team. And that brought the people together. And from there started the Italian club.
Okay.
Now I'm convinced of that. In fact, I've got a membership card. I was member number 7, but it was the old, and then I refounded it again, you know, and it was found out. It's old, you'll find out about it, but it was in the 60s.
It would be interesting to get some pictures of those times too.
Yes, I think we can try and find something.
That would be really interesting to get some pictures that we can copy.
Yes, I'll try for that. I'll make a note of that.
Okay.
I'll try. I don't think there was much, but the Italians, of course, enjoyed the football. Every Sunday afternoon, they used to go and watch the team.
How was the team called? Italy or what?
No, Italia.
Italia.
Same, and we wore the blue, azzurri, same as,
And how did you get...
We had Italian badge on the side. It was very nice, you know.
How did you get your uniforms? Were they...
No, we had it made locally.
Made locally, with the colors of the Italian national team.
We had the blue shirts and the blue socks, you know. But not as fancy as it is today, but...
Okay.
The materials were not very good, you know, it was just cotton, you know.
And you won that league? You won it?
Oh, we won it many times, yes. Ah. Oh, we won it many. We were a good team.
Matches were the most, I think, interesting, like the more passionate, against Germans or against something?
No, the biggest games were Italy and Israel. They were the biggest games. Yeah. Because there were a lot of Jews in South Africa. You see.
No, it's just.
Whenever Italy played Israel, it was the biggest game of the year, you know, every time, And then the Portuguese were quite big, and the Portuguese were strong, and the Greeks. A lot of Greeks, a lot of Portuguese immigrants, a lot of Greek immigrants. So Italy, Portugal, Greece were the biggest teams, you know, and Israel, of course,
Israel. Mm. It's crazy. Maybe because they were like a good team, or
they were very good.
Yeah,
I think they beat us maybe more times than we beat them. I think.
Wow.
No, they were very good. They were very good. Yeah.
And you were like, what about your friends? You made your friends in other communities. I mean, not sons of Italians, or in
No. We were very anglicized, you know, very anglicized. Very few Italian friends.
So were your
friends? I think that was average for all of the Italians, because there were a few of us, you know, very few.
As a child and then as a teenager and a young man, you have your friends
English,
not the Africans.
South Africans, South Africans,
But I mean, between South Africans, I understand English and Africans.
No, not Afrikaans.
I
want to understand. No, it's a different culture. You will find that out when you... Different culture.
Different language too.
Different language, different culture.
But, I mean, you...
We still speak Afrikaans, you know.
You learn it.
Oh, yeah, we speak Afrikaans.
The second language, yeah?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's an interesting language, like Dutch, you know, German.
How
Dutch,
about
yeah.
to deal with that culture? Because you were in a family, you received a foreign culture.
Yes.
That you were in a British English environment, and then you had to deal with this one.
It was very difficult from a point of view that their values were different, you know. Things that were important to them were not important to us, you know. So it was almost a culture which was bred out of... what I call almost not solidarity but individualism, because they had no other country to go for. This was the only country they had in the world, so they had to establish an identity which was unique to anything else in the world, you know. So they had values which were this. They were more conservative, you know, dress clothes were more conservative, the laws were more, the morality was better, you know. They were very staid, you know, very conservative, yes.
Were they more living in the countryside?
Yes.
Instead
they never did go to the big towns, you know.
Okay. So
yeah, they were living more in the suburbs out, you know, it was, yeah.
So, how did you choose the subject of your studies? What did you study at university first?
I'm a quantity surveyor by profession, which you don't have in Italy, but in Italy it's a construction economist.
Construction economist.
Yes,
is that an engineer, I can say?
It's engineering orientated, architectural. It's a combination of engineering, architecture, construction, but it's financial world of the construction.
So right?
Everything to do with money and management of money and construction.
How
right.
did you come to that subject? Is it
true? No, it's strange because my brother was in the construction industry. He was a carpenter, I think. And what he said to me one day, he says he looked at the cars that came to the building site, you know, and he says, no, the quantity surveyor always had the best car, you see. So he says he must have got quantity surveying because he could pay the most money.
What did you think at school as a subject? Was your favorite?
Favorite subject was cricket. No, I was very bad at school. I don't even want to tell you. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, the funny part about the school was that I suppose my best subject was English, you know. Yeah.
English. In fact, you sound really English. If I close my eyes,
yeah.
I don't look
sport,
at your name.
Sport, you know. Yeah. Nothing else but sport.
But the subject you choose for the university was quite... I mean, difficult because
it was difficult, very difficult, and I was very bad at school. But when I went to university, I was, you know, I got the top student. I got the highest student in all the years, you know, because I was interested in the subject. But at school, I was not interested, so I was very bad at school. I was the lowest, very bad in the class, you know, very bad.
I mean, having the possibility, the chance to study at university, the opportunity. To get a job, because I mean, probably not many people as your age had a university degree at that time.
Quite right. It was an interesting subject, but it wasn't a very big profession at the time. It was a very small profession because it was not developed. The profession was not developed. All right, it was underdeveloped. The potential of the profession was not exploited or was not developed. It was not developed, and I qualified in 1960. Then I'd write a thesis, so officially I only qualified in 1962 because I had to write a thesis after that, you know, after finishing university, and I didn't do it straight away. I did it 2 years later. I could have done it straight away, but I didn't do it. And so effectively my qualification is only June 1962, but what happened there was that the construction industry was not very buoyant in the country. It was not big.
Okay.
So the salaries were okay, but they weren't that good because there wasn't an upturn in the economy, you know. Yeah.
So you needed a few
to actually develop. It took me about 3 years before I got a decent salary after 1960. I started working in 1961, you know.
61.
Took 3 years before I got a good salary, you know. Yeah.
What kind of relationship, since you grew up in a British environment and a South African environment, your friends were, how did you rely, what kind of relationship did you have with the new Italians coming in the 50s?
Were as your age, some of them,
late 50s or...
Yes, now I think the relationship was very remote because I was very anglicized. It was very remote. But the football brought us together, yes. That was the only common denominator was the football. It was nothing else really, you know, that brought us together. Strange, eh?
And
it's very strange.
Like an element of communication between the two countries,
very difficult in a way. It was, I had very few Italian friends, you know, almost none, you know.
Were Italians at the period coming to you asking for like help in translating and understanding or what? Did you ask?
No, I could never translate because I never learned Italian the proper way. You see, I only learned it phonetically, so I was able to speak a little bit of Italian only from listening, not the grammar, you know.
But I haven't asked you that. What your parents were talking to you in Friulan, I mean, or in Italian?
No, in Italian. I do understand the Friulana, but I don't speak it.
Were they speaking in Friulan among them?
Yes, but not too much. They spoke more Italian, you know. Spoke more Italian. My brother speaks Friulano because he was born in Italy. He speaks.
He spoke a bit little on the phone.
Yes, he's not that good, but he's all right. You know, he can manage. You know.
And then, you were, so they were talking to you in Italian, in your family.
Yes.
But with your brother, what did you speak?
English,
and your sister the same.
Terrible. Yeah, it's a strange thing, you know. We talk English amongst ourselves, and now we don't talk Italian to each other. Yeah. It's a pity, but it's one of those things, you know. So,
One more thing about that. You told me that this football gave you the opportunity to come in front of each other, new Italian.
Yes.
And how was like your relationship with Italian identity at that time? Because you told me that as a child you suffer of exclusion a bit of, yeah? So you
in the early years, after the war, it softened. It softened in 1950, I think it was already softening and it was gone, you know.
You were already considering yourself more South African than
Italian. Yes, absolutely. Totally South African. No, I was not Italian at all. It's only recently.
Yeah, how did...
I mean, we come to that, but only in the last 15 years have I become Italian.
when did you get married?
1962, yeah.
So, very young, just after
that? Yeah, 23, 24, I think, 23, okay, very young, very young.
And your wife was what?
She's English, she's Irish descent, you know. Going back, but her parents are English. She's got a British passport as well, you know.
Many,
Most of us are from the United Kingdom, you know. Most of the people in South Africa are British descent, you know. That's interesting.
How was for your parents that you got married to a British, English
descent? No, they accepted it because they understood that I was South African and not Italian, you know. It's a strange, I suppose it's normal, no?
Yeah, sure. And what about your brother? Also married
He married a Dutch girl, but she was basically South African also. Her parents came also to South Africa. Most of us are immigrants, you know.
Sure.
And
you had children. When were you had
some daughters?
Two daughters.
I think the first one was born in 67 and the next one in 73.
And they also, they can speak some Italian, they learned some Italian words?
No, the one went to Italian lessons, the younger one, and she tried very hard to learn Italian, but she didn't do too well. She went for a year, and so there was an interest. They are actually quite interested in learning Italian, the younger one, but not the older one. I don't know why. The one is very interested. She's trying to learn, you know.
But at that time that you were young, there were no opportunities to study Italian. Because I know that...
No, you're quite right. There was no opportunity. Yeah. I think the Dante Alighieri were not even here.
I know there's some priests maybe not here, but yes, somewhere else they were teaching Italian. And
that's correct. They were doing it in the spare time. Yeah, you're quite right.
For the pupils, for the children.
No, you're quite right. I don't know where you picked that up, but it's really, really interesting information.
We already did some interviews with the people in Italy that lived for a long time. So some of the
people. You seem to know quite a lot, that's what I'm judging you. So I can see that, you know, you've done a lot of homework.
Okay, when you started working in the construction industry, where else other? Italians working in that, not at your position, I mean, but in your company.
Not in my own company, no. There were no other Italian
company, actually.
Yes, it's funny, you know. I started with this company, and in fact, in June this year, I was 45 years. In fact, I'm the longest serving person in the company. Now, that's very strange because there's nobody else. Even the founder of the company, he left before, so he didn't make 45 years. You know, I made 45 years. Nobody else made 45 years. That's why I was interviewed for the video. You know, for the 50. It's our 50th anniversary. You see,
45 years in the same company.
Yes.
And this company seems to have a long history.
Started in 1958. It's our 50th anniversary now.
Quite new when you joined.
Yes, I was one of the original directors. You know, I became the managing director eventually, and then the chairman when the previous chairman left, and then I became the chairman. And then I retired from that as well. No, it's an interesting history. It's a long time to be with.
Something about that.
Yes, the company is.
About your life in this company.
Yes, my life in the company, it was very interesting because I was the only English speaking director. They were Afrikaans. It was an Afrikaans company. Yes. It started as an Afrikaans company. And then they started from Johannesburg, Pretoria. They started in Pretoria. And because they were Afrikaans, they then wanted to move around because the chairman, who was the founder of the company, he wanted to establish in all the centres in South Africa. So he opened an office in Cape Town, but Cape Town is predominantly English speaking.
Sure.
So that's why I was the first English person in South Africa.
So they picked
the company.
Picked up
an Englishman, you know. Yeah.
Englishman, but with an
Italian background.
Italian background, isn't it?
It was quite good for marketing in a way because it always helps a bit, you know, to give it some flavour. Yeah, to give it a bit of flavour. Look, I don't want to bore you with the details. I mean, there's quite a lot of history to the company because the company was a very, very dynamic company. In fact, probably changed the face of quantity surveying in South Africa. I think it was probably the most advanced company in South Africa at its time. First one to have computers, you know, in the 80s we started. The computer was a room twice the size of this, you know, with a floor that thick, the big machines with the tubes and everything, you know, we started the computers, you know. So I just wanted to say that we changed the face of quantity surveying. We were ahead of our time, you know. Yeah.
I may be interested in some point regarding this subject. Did your descent, your heritage, in a way help you through your career, you think?
Made no difference.
No, made no difference,
Made no difference.
So after your childhood and your student, as career as a student, you didn't feel that being of Italian descent didn't make any difference to you?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Not at all. No. No difference.
And
interesting.
As a director, man of responsibility, how did you deal with the question of apartheid? I mean, in your work.
Apartheid. I think we followed the law of the country. That's what we did. So effectively, I'm afraid that we didn't. It was a strange thing because we didn't fight against it, put it that way. Because the interesting part about it is our major clients was the government at the time, you know. And the government was apartheid orientated, so the Afrikaners were the people that were running the country. So I was the Englishman in the Afrikaans company, which was difficult for me to suppress the culture related to the regime or the company or the government in charge, which was Afrikaans orientated. So you know, they used to, the government supported the company because it was of the same background. So it was almost the other way around, you know. Yeah, it was the other way. Yeah, that's a very confidential statement, you know, because I don't like to admit that, you know, in the public. I wouldn't tell that to the rest of the people, you know. Yeah, it is. It's not. In hindsight, in relation to what the political situation is now and in relation to moral standards, it is probably the wrong thing to do. But what do? You know, you get sucked into the government, and the government of the time is powerful, so it offers you a lot of opportunities that you're going to say, no, thank you very much, I like the black guys, you know, sorry, I'm not going to take your job. You won't do that, you know. Human beings don't do that, you know. Funny enough, they should, but those are very few and far between, you know. Now we're getting onto a very sociological subject now, but that's
for
the way it is.
It's really interesting to understand the attitude our Italian immigrants and their sons relate with the issue.
You become, whether you're immigrant sons, you become one of the people here. The influence is too great to become almost isolated from the rest. You become one of the people.
Yeah,
you know, it's a natural
progression. Country of immigration, like
yes.
South Africa here, like Canada, and this kind of feeling.
Yeah. It's like when you, I don't know if you ever watch the golf. You don't play golf.
I would like to.
Yeah, you look at the golfers that are Americanized.
Who's a black
one? Mediate. He's not mediate, he's mediate. You know? Calcavecchia. Calcavecchia. You know, he's American, but he's Italian. But he's American. He's not Italian, you see?
Yeah.
And he doesn't speak a word of Italian, and they pronounce the name like the Americans do. They don't pronounce it like the Italians, you see? It's interesting. Any sport. It's the same thing. They become a country, and it's one of those facts of life, and I don't know what one does about it, you know. You don't do anything about it. Yeah.
So how did you, in a way, got interested in your heritage? When did it start for you?
Yes, it's a good question, because I'm trying to, it started about, I would say my first trip to Italy was 1965. But my very first trip back to Italy was 1965.
Okay. For you, was the first time?
First time, yes, sorry, you're right.
Yeah,
first time.
Were you alone, or were your brother?
No, I took my wife, just the wife and myself. Yes. To see where my parents came from.
Yeah.
I couldn't. And I was very young at the time, obviously 65, I was 26, 27 years old, you know. And when I got there, you know what my reaction was? Thank God my father came to South Africa. Huh? Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
That's the first thing I saw. The people were living, they had not recovered from the Second World War. Well, I'm sure they had not recovered. They were living in very poor conditions. I don't think anybody had a motor car in my village. I don't think they had a stove, maybe they had a fridge, you know, but they didn't have anything else. You know, they had nothing. They were still very, very poor. And the living conditions, the houses were really bad, you know, there was nothing there. They had done very little in the 20 years after the war, almost nothing.
You arrived by train in Rome and then by train to Udine, what?